Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
9 o'clock, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to the phone lines here and the conversation with you guys in just a couple minutes. Right now, though, we go out to the guest line. Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus joining us. Week 7 starts tomorrow night. The Eagles are in Las Vegas this weekend against the Raiders. Let's get Sam's thoughts on all things Eagles and NFL. Sam, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How about you?
We're good. I mean, we've been a little better around here football-wise. It's not going great right now with 2-4, but I'm curious your thoughts on where the Eagles are, with their season, their trajectory. The schedule has been really tough so far. I think ESPN's Football Power Index put it as the most difficult schedule for 6 weeks, and it does lighten up. What's your thought on the Eagles' big picture, 2-4 right now, first 6 games under Sirianni and with Hurts as his quarterback?
Yeah, and we're in a similar place. We have them with the second most difficult schedule so far, but the good news is we have them with the 32nd most difficult schedule going forward, otherwise known as the easiest schedule in the NFL. So obviously the Raiders are a decent team, but their schedule does get an awful lot easier down the rest of the season, which is obviously big for them. They're in a tough spot because Dallas looks like they're going to run away and kind of take this division relatively easily. The Eagles are probably the next best team. Washington have their problems. The Giants have got their issues right now with injuries and everything going on there. But the most difficult thing for Philadelphia is, you know, they loaded up on all these first round picks for next year's draft. And right now, like, the college landscape of quarterbacks has been really rough through the first few weeks of the college season. So, you know, they're kind of in this no man's land of not quite knowing what they have in Jalen Hurts, not quite having an obvious target in the draft to chase for, and still not really knowing what the plan is long-term at quarterback.
Yeah, and that's a big discussion we're having here. I mean, there's some fans here who really believe in Jalen and think he could turn out to be a good one. I'm still holding out hope he can. I like some things about him, but there are some reasons to worry. His accuracy, and he's not the strongest arm in the world. He can run, though, and so there's that kind of floor of the offense. Sam, what have you thought of the way they've run their offense with Jalen Hurts? It's basically RPO-based, which is, you know, what Jalen did at Oklahoma. And we're kind of puzzled here, and we know it's a passing league, and you have to pass to win in the NFL, but they're passing the ball out of the RPO at a pretty crazy pace right now, where they basically don't run the football with their running backs. It's just Jalen Hurts running kind of off schedule sometimes. What do you make of how they're running their offense with Jalen? It feels like they're asking him to do a lot considering where he is as a passer right now.
Yeah, the funny thing is Jalen Hurts has been sort of right in the middle of where he could have possibly been this season. Like, he's been better than I think a lot of people expected him to be, but not quite good enough that you're sold on him as a long-term future, unquestionably. But I think he has taken real leaps forward in terms of passing. And we kind of still refer to him as being this guy that's an inaccurate passer because we all remember, you know, throws that he leaves on the table and some inaccurate throws. But when you look at the data, he's actually been a pretty accurate quarterback. When you look at the kind of percentage of uncatchable passes so far this season, like, where is he? Number 11 in terms of, like, actually uncatchable passes, right behind Tom Brady, right ahead of Lamar Jackson, ahead of Dak Prescott. that's a pretty good place to be in terms of just not missing throws. Now, there's definitely more to accuracy than that, right? Sometimes there's ball location and exactly where you're putting the ball on guys. But he isn't missing as many throws as I think you might think he does just based off watching him play and kind of letting your brain do that mental highlight thing of just remembering and guesstimating where he was. And he does bring that floor in terms of the rushing and what that offense does. So I'm kind of, I don't think it's necessarily the wrong thing to be leaning on him as the guy that makes this entire offense tick across the board, whether it's the RPOs, whether it's rushing the ball, all those kinds of things. I think they would definitely like to have more of a designed rushing threat, and I think they probably will if they get that offensive line healthy again. One of the big kind of problems with judging everything this season is that right at the start of the year, it looked like Philadelphia's offensive line was going to be back to its best, where it was one of the best in the NFL, and then injuries have really hit hard. They've had, I think, 9 different guys take like 100 snaps or more on the offensive line, something like that. So we just haven't seen like what 100% healthy Eagles offensive line with Jalen Hurts behind it looks like, and I think it would be pretty good.
Yeah, we do too. I mean, I agree with that. I think they could become a better team in the second half. So before you hopped on, Sam, we were talking about the idea of if fans have given up on the idea of the playoffs this year. I think a lot have. I haven't for a couple of reasons. One, you mentioned the easiest schedule in the NFL moving forward. And, you know, I look at the NFC standings, and you mentioned Dallas, and they look like they're a legitimate threat to not just win the division, but go deep in the playoffs this year. But there's about 5 really good teams in the NFC. And yet there's 7 playoff spots. Sam, I look at the teams that the Eagles are kind of the mix with, the Carolinas who they beat, the Falcons, Washington. I don't think this season is over in terms of this team competing for that last spot in the playoffs. What would you say about that playoff picture, the Eagles and all those teams in the bottom of the NFC? I think it's pretty wide open.
Yeah, it's definitely not dead and buried. They still have a shot to make the playoffs. I don't think it's a particularly likely thing to happen necessarily, but they're probably going to put themselves in the mix and give themselves an outside shot by the end of the season and maybe get there if things break their way. I think they are going to be in this interesting position where when guys start to get a bit healthier and that schedule eases up, I think they will look significantly better than they've looked so far for a lot of the season. And whether or not they make the playoffs, I think the most interesting thing that does is potentially make Jalen Hurts look a little bit better as well, and kind of give them a really interesting question by the end of the season.
Yeah, we're already prepared here at WIP to debate this all offseason. Should they roll with Hurts, or should they, you know, cash in those picks for a vet or trade for somebody? Sam, what's been your perspective on the new head coach, Nick Sirianni? We kind of talked about the offense and how they're running it, but there's also the decision-making part of being a head coach, and I feel like we scrutinize that now more than ever, fourth down stuff, aggressive. Have you had a favorable thought on Sirianni? Have you been concerned about him so far? I mean, the play-calling stuff is what we debate a lot, but and he has gone for some fourth downs. He hasn't at other times. I'm still trying to figure out what kind of coach he is. What have you thought about the new coach?
Yeah, I think he's done a pretty good job. I've been pleasantly surprised sometimes with some of the decisions he's made. I think he's made some smart calls during games. I don't think he's necessarily been one of those coaches that's kind of undermined where the team has been, and there have been a few of them so far this season in-game. So for a guy that, in terms of an appointment and a guy that didn't necessarily wow anybody with the first sort of few press conferences he was giving and the kind of stock answers that he gave to the questions that everybody gets asked at the start, I think he's looked pretty good once he's actually been up and running and doing the job.
Sam, you know, one of the coaches that was very intriguing to me at last cycle with the NFL hiring process was Brandon Staley. And I believe the Eagles had some interest. They wanted to interview him, but, you know, he signed out with the Chargers and that was over. He's been kind of the darling, it seems like, of the analytics community. How good is that guy? He's a first-year coach. Chargers are a good team. And it seems like every decision he makes is kind of on the right side of where you want a coach to be. What's been your thought on Staley among the first-year head coaches?
Yeah, he certainly does look like a guy who just gets it. And not just understanding everything himself and making all the calls, getting himself with people that are giving him the information. You know, it's not just one guy anymore that's making all these decisions and trying to be on the right side of every single call and therefore having to have the sophisticated understanding of the analytics and the fourth down decisions and when to go for it and when not to. Like, he understands that there are people that do this for a living, or people that are experts, to make sure that he has a pretty good understanding, and then has a bunch of these guys that are feeding information to him so that he's always got at least the right idea, and then he can decide if he wants to override it or something in game means you want to go in a different direction. So I think the things that he's saying in press conferences and that kind of thing are clearly smart. They're clearly sophisticated. They have a holistic sort of view of folding analytics in with the football stuff and all that kind of thing. And then you get the in-game decision-making stuff, which has been pretty much right on the money all the way through. And that, I think, is understands how to run an organization, even though it's his first time doing it.
Sam, last one for you. I'm sure you're seen and aware, and you guys at Pro Football Focus are on top of what the rumors are out there with Deshaun Watson, possibly the Dolphins sometime soon. I know there was something out there tonight that there could be some sort of three-way trade worked out where Tua ends up somewhere else, potentially the Washington football team, who don't have a long-term answer at quarterback. I'm curious your thoughts on Tua, if he's rerouted somewhere else. Do you like him? Do you think Tua's, there's still some upside there? Have you not seen much or enough since he got in the NFL? Curious, especially, you know, he could end up in the NFC East here in some sort of three-way deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still upside there, but there hasn't been an awful lot of positive in Tua's NFL career so far. And we really liked him as a prospect coming out, but his arm, you know, is marginal. He hasn't been making a ton of big plays. He has made some significant mistakes, and he's, you know, been injured already for a period. So it's not a great situation in Miami. That offensive line is pretty horrendous, but it's just tough to see how a team could give up an awful lot. The price has dropped to a second round pick and something conditional as well. It's worth a risk for a team that has no long-term answer, a quarterback like Washington. Maybe it is worth rolling that dice, but I can't see that there is a ton of value attached to Tua given what we've seen from him so far in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. Sam, always appreciate hopping on. Thank you. We'll be reading Pro Football Focus. Appreciate it again.
Anytime, guys.
There you go. Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus there. On Hurts, on Sirianni, on the Eagles. They're the easiest schedule in the NFL moving forward, according to Pro Football Focus. All right, before we go back to the phone lines here, I do have to pass this along because it is the story of the day in the NFL. We're back. A month since we had one of these? So the big story today was that Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins is getting close, and it felt like every significant reporter down in Houston that covers the Texans basically said, like, yeah, this is going to happen within a week or so. Now, this is coming out, Jeff Howe and Aaron Reese of The Athletic. Here is the report. Quote, the Houston Chronicle first reported on Wednesday that a trade for Watson could be coming this week. The Texans have been asking teams for 3 first-round draft picks and 2 or 3 more assets, including a collection of picks or players, according to a source. The Texans have had recent discussions with the Miami Dolphins, Carolina Panthers, and Philadelphia Eagles, according to sources. However, the seriousness of those discussions, ranging from a casual conversation to actual trade negotiations, hasn't been disclosed. We're back. The Eagles are once again being linked to Deshaun Watson. I don't believe Deshaun Watson's going to be an Eagle over the next 2 weeks. I don't believe it. Like, I don't believe the Eagles are in position right now to trade all that to get a guy who hasn't played football since last year, as all of those allegations, which we know hovering over his head. I don't think the Eagles are desperate enough to do it. And like, I mean, they've done things I didn't expect before, so we all could be wrong, or I could be wrong on this. It feels like the Dolphins are desperate. It feels like their owner, Stephen Ross, is desperate to get this guy and to get a special quarterback down there in Miami. I'd be very surprised if he's here in 2 weeks. Very surprised. Now, does this mean the Eagles didn't call again? No, I mean, they've been calling the whole time. I think the Eagles have been on the periphery of this all the time. You know what my read on this is? The Eagles love the player, Deshaun Watson. They don't love the scenario. But you know what I think the Eagles are and how he is? He's a deal maker. Tucker, my read on this from the beginning is they love the player. This is an issue, like, just PR-wise. They don't really want to do this. But if they could get him on a real cheap discount, they would do it. And I don't think that's the case. So they're not going to get him.
Yeah, I think even though Deshaun Watson has been alleged to be a terrible human being, quite honestly. Still probably going to have to give up a lot in a trade. Right? Like, yeah. I think the Texans still know what they have and aren't willing to necessarily budge. And if you look at the teams right now who are kind of in it, Miami is the most desperate.
Definitely.
Right? Like Brian Flores is desperate to keep his job. That front office is desperate to keep this team moving. I mean, this is a team that came into the season with playoff aspirations. And whether or not those are realized, even with the addition of Deshaun Watson, the future in Miami is murky. Right? Even if they don't make it this year, I mean, Tua Tagovailoa isn't necessarily impressing people. They gave up next year's first-round pick to draft Jalen Waddle when they had offensive line issues from the jump. They're certainly desperate to make a move and try and pull that team away from the fire. I think they'd be willing to give up whatever Houston asks, quite honestly.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up with the Dolphins. I mean, again, we're not talking them. I mean, the teams in this report aren't coming out of left field. These have been the same teams that have been linked the whole time, the Carolina Panthers, the Eagles. They've been linked the entire time. But you know what's going to have to happen now? Nick Sirianni is going to have to answer a question about this tomorrow. Does Jalen Hurts speak tomorrow? Jalen Hurts speak again before the game on Sunday?
I don't believe so.
Okay, he did his thing today, right? So he spoke today. Well, that's good for him, because otherwise he'd have to answer this again. But we're back.
Rat poison.
Doesn't pay attention. Listen, he's got to block it all out. I mean, I'm sure he'd have a good answer, because he didn't get tripped up in the summer. Sirianni might get tripped up tomorrow. You guys still calling about Deshaun Watson? Can't wait for that. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Steve in Egg Harbor Township. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I was just talking to your producer a little bit ago. Why can't they just bring this guy in with his representatives in the NFL? And, you know, if Ben wants to leave so bad, you know, we're not going to get anything for him anyway, because everybody's seen what he did last year. And if I'm a GM, I wouldn't give you a second-round pick for this guy at all. You want to leave so bad, you want to get out of here, what was your contract? Because I don't think anybody else would sign into a max contract. And if you don't do that, I believe, you know, you could always suspend a guy. And for a conduct detrimental to the team, we've all heard what he's been doing in practice, cell phones, this, that, the other thing, not doing anything that the coach wants him to do. And get a labor lawyer and try and avoid the contract that way and get him out of here. We're not getting anything for this guy.
Yeah, Steve, at some point, if he continued to be insubordinate, I'm sure they'd have a case. But if he shows up and goes through the motions, I mean, I don't think they could do anything. I mean, Adam Silver was asked about it yesterday. This is not easy. I mean, the NBA's never really had a case with a guy that has this many years and this much money left on his contract acting like this. Usually when this happens, you know, a guy has a year left, Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, whatever. Like, this guy's got 4 years left on his deal and is acting like this. It's almost unprecedented.
Yeah, but you also can't put this guy in a ball game either, because, you know, if he does something that looks like, you know, he's not playing up to his potential or not doing this. I mean, you got people gambling money on games and stuff like that. I mean, this could really look bad for the NBA in a lot of different ways, if you ask me.
I agree with you on that. Yeah, I think that's an element of this. And, Steve, I always appreciate your phone call. There's an element to the NBA and all pro sports now that is different than ever before. Like, you know, these leagues are in bed with the sports books now. They all are. I mean, every single one of them, whether it's whatever book, right? And they have multiple partners with all these things, right? And you go on and there's boosts for the game and this player to get this many points. Like, it's a major revenue source of every pro sport right now. And the idea of a player like Ben Simmons going on the court and going through the motions and maybe not playing as hard as he could, if we ever get to that point, it is a big conflict of interest for the NBA and any sport. I mean, it's a big deal. But guess what? I'm not even really worried about that, because I don't think Ben Simmons will ever suit up again for the Sixers. I wonder what the excuse is tonight or tomorrow. What are they going to do about Ben Simmons on Friday? Like, the Sixers play on Friday night at home. So from where we are right now is he was suspended for tonight's game. So I'm assuming the suspension is over when the game ends. They come back tonight. I'm not sure if they have a practice or a shoot-around or anything tomorrow, but Friday morning, there'll be a shoot-around before the home opener. We're just going to, like, suspend him again? Are we going to say he's invited? It's almost like they should have suspended him for longer so we'd forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, does he even show up to practice tomorrow? I know they don't really technically have a practice. It'll be like a walkthrough or something.
Right.
But I imagine he probably doesn't show up tomorrow so they can suspend him again for Friday. Right?
Yeah, that. So another, he wants to lose more money, though?
I don't know. I mean, I just, it's, I mean, can they bench him?
So here's
right, like Doc Rivers earlier this week mentioned that his conditioning wasn't all the way there, which I think is kind of silly, right? If Ben Simmons is conditioned to play 45 minutes a night in an NBA team, you could play him 35, and I think he'd be fine.
Yep.
But I think that's probably the cop out, right? To say, well, he's not there yet. He's not ready to go. We'll wait until next week.
So here's my guess what's going to happen. Your scenario certainly could play out. I could see maybe one more suspension. He comes back to practice next week. And guess what? Walks in, back hurting, need treatment. And we just all kind of like do a fake thing where everyone knows this is baloney. It's the easiest way around the drama. Doc doesn't have to answer questions every 5 minutes. Ben's hurt. I mean, what are you going to do? His back is sore. He's got to get it checked out. And we just kind of play it out that way. I mean, I think that's the easiest way. I mean, if they can't do this every 5 minutes. So it's like, oh, is he going to play tonight? Is he not? You can't. Jim is in Skipack. What's up, Jim?
Let me take you off speaker. Hold on.
You got it, Jim. What's up?
Oh.
Jim, what are you thinking? What's up here, Jim?
Well, I'm thinking that, you know, Sirianni, I'm so sick of the dog mentality. And then he runs one play three times a game with Miles Sanders, and he gets caught in the backfield every time. I mean, knock it off.
Yeah, I bet less dog mentality and more, play calling and creativity. Can we do that?
Absolutely, but I don't know if it's capable.
Yeah, Jim, I don't know either. That worries more than anything. That it just seems like the defenses already have a beat on what he's doing. And I know Jalen's missed some passes, but there's also three or four plays a game where the play looks dead on the minute it snaps. He's got no chance.
Yeah, well, the other part to this with Jalen Hurts is, I mean, the guy, he's done this in college his whole life. He doesn't check down the field. How many times are you going to, you get caught in the backfield, you got to get rid of the ball. And he's got to scramble. Mm-hmm. All right? It's not our line. It's him. He doesn't check down. And then, what was it, 2 weeks ago, he throws it. We're trying to get out of bounds when he's got a guy another 10 yards down that could have got a touchdown.
Yeah, but that one, I do think he got beat up too much for that. That was a play before the half with 10 seconds to go. He's coached to throw that ball. I don't even think he's looking at that guy. I don't think that was on him.
Do you not think that a good quarterback would check down and forget the call and
no,
go for the gut?
No, because they had no timeouts and it was before the half. So you're risking not getting anything there. Like the coaching play there, he's being taught, look to the sideline, get it out of your hands, get out of bounds, kick the field goal. Like I don't even think he's looking at that wide receiver. I don't think most quarterbacks would.
Well, I've watched him in, I don't know, from college and then coming into the pros. And then, he did it last year. He's doing it this year. And he's missing players. He's just, I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in Jalen Hurts as being a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and I don't think you're the only one right now, Jim. And I appreciate the call. That's fine. I mean, Jalen's got to earn that belief either back or for a lot of people here in Philadelphia. But I think that of all the plays we criticized him for this year, that's the one I keep coming back to. I think we overreacted on that. Sometimes I think people, I think we live in like you got to stop watching the game on Twitter when someone puts up a clip like, see, this guy was wide open, or watching the game on, someone sends you it or you isolate it on your TV with your DVR. That play, the one before the half of Carolina, that's not the play. It's a clear out. Like, yes, in a vacuum, guys running down the sideline, look up, you have a touchdown. I mean, I get it. But it's also like he's taught, get the ball, get it out. Get it to that guy that's by the sideline, short pass, out of bounds, kick the field goal. He did his job. He did what he was asked to do on that play. I think it's a little unfair to beat him up on that one. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here. Listen to Nick Sirianni, what he said today about Jalen Hurts. I no longer believe it is a lock that he is the quarterback all year long if he doesn't play well. He needs to play better. There's no question about that. And I think it's now up in the air if he's a starter all year long. 215-592-9494. That's a up in. And when you call in, give us a player or coach you couldn't wait to see leave Philadelphia. I think Ben Simmons fits that right now to a team. When we get back, I'm going to play for you. Up in New York, they're discussing the idea of Kyrie Irving for Ben Simmons. We'll hit that next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And basketball season is back, and there's no better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. To celebrate the NBA tip-off, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers enhanced odds. That's right. Get 75-1 odds on any team to win on October 20th. Look, there's a lot of games out there, a lot of teams out there. But you know who I like? I like later on tonight. I'll go with Phoenix at home against Denver to win outright. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. Look, it's easy to use, easy to register, fast withdrawals when you win, and the odds boosted specials, they're there every single game, and it's a big super boost on the weekend. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code GILIO to get 75-1 odds on any team to win on October 20th. That's promo code GIGLIO, and make every moment more this NBA season.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.